If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It's episode 428 for January 28th, 2020. Coming up on this week's show, we did for real see the back of the Xbox Series X, not the fake render. So we'll talk all about what is lurking back there. Plus, a really, really interesting remake rumor, and it surrounds KOTOR, one of my favorite games of all time. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up on Podcast Unlocked.
Podcast Unlocked.
All right, my friends, what's happening? Welcome. I am a on the downside of a cold. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by the Bam Man himself, Destin Wait for it, Gary.
Bam! Hey, everybody.
There it is. Whoa. See, I made you wait.
I was doing it slightly off mic to make sure it doesn't pop everybody's eardrums. Because if I did the full bam, I don't think the audio and video listeners could handle it.
iTunes review. This podcast makes your ears bleed.
It's only 1% like of his power.
Yeah, Maxwell, old tapes.
The Bam Man. I'm digging it.
I'll take it.
Destin Bam Bam Legere. I like that.
That's
right. No, Flintstones is on ice.
It's a cultural icon.
So, yeah,
it's a touchstone. Fine.
Brandon Tyrell.
What's going on? Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. And the other member, I'm the only one that didn't get the memo about wearing black today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mark Medina.
Two things. One, I love when the intro is playing because we all have to sit here silently and everybody just does this.
It nods along.
It's great. Also, two, the F9 trailer came out today, the teaser for Friday's Fast 9 trailer.
Oh, snap.
Go watch it. It's amazing. It'll tug at the heartstrings. I love those movies.
Really?
So
wait,
much.
The trailer came out? I thought they were just teasing it.
It was a teaser trailer came out today.
Okay.
It is 50 seconds of sadness. It's old man Toretto. He's got a family now. He can no longer live his life a quarter mile.
Old man, look at my life.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Get that Neil Young going.
Oh, boy. Full trailer Friday. Get hyped.
We wish Miranda Sanchez a speedy recovery because she's worse off than I am. She's,
No.
She's under the
it's
weather.
It's going around. So.
Yeah, it does seem like I've been in a bunch of meetings at external places this week, and everybody's got somebody that's under the weather. So it's just it's all getting around, unfortunately. But the good news is we've got some fun stuff to talk about. So let's do that right now. First, the Xbox Series X. We'll be talking about it most weeks this week. In fact, most weeks forever. Until
until
the next generation.
Until the Series 2.
Yeah. So a credit goes to Doug, his handle is Doug_DragoX on Twitter.
Drago.
Maybe it's Drago, yeah.
But might be Drago. My apologies, Doug, if I got
that wrong. He must break you.
He broke the Xbox internet.
Boom.
Yes.
Why, he's the best in the business.
Got it. No, this is a heck of a thing. So this is two pictures that he posted on Twitter of a real prototype Series X Xbox, the very same that Phil Spencer was likely alluding to before the holidays when he said, oh, I'm using it as my home console at my house right now.
Mm.
It is in the same form factor. It looks exactly like
what we've been shown so far of the Series X. The difference is on the back, the label where the sort of, you know, Xbox Series X and other little FCC kind of information would be written. It just says prototype, obviously. But we did get a look at the back of it. So here's what's really on the back, not the render, the fake render that AMD used back at CES. So there is one HDMI port, which we know, of course, will be an HDMI 2.1 port.
Some people are sad there's no pass-through.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
I did like that feature.
Did you use it much, like the your TV console box?
I have a unique setup, but...
For streaming and whatnot.
Yeah. But I totally would have. Yeah. I like HDMI pass-throughs. They're very helpful.
Well, you're SOL on this one, so no go. But one HDMI port, and then the same sort of pseudo-universal power supply port, which is the same that the Xbox One X and S use, which does strongly suggest, if not outright guarantee, that there will indeed be no external power brick, that it will be an internal power supply PSU. In the Tower of Power.
I think we're past that phase. I think if they were to release, in any console nowadays, were to release an external box on their cord, I think people would...
There'd be a riot.
They'd be like, lol.
I think we're done with that, luckily.
And thankfully, all the evidence speaks to that. You know, the S and then the X and now Series X are not using that. So good stuff there. And then there are three USB Type-A ports, so no USB-C. There's one on the front, two on the back. The two on the rear are labeled with Super Speed, the SS logo, so those appear to be USB 3.0. Are you...
One on the front, two on the back, right?
Yeah.
Is this like a sort of closed caption ASL kind of thing you've got going on?
No.
If you're listening on audio, Destin is just...
He's making hand gestures.
I'm helping...
And they're quite lewd, sir.
Accent Ryan's point that there are three USB ports.
He's like, we don't need B-roll. I am the B-roll.
Destin's human B-roll. Watch Podcast Unlocked on youtube.com/IGNUnlocked for all this visual goodness that you're missing out on if you're listening on audio. Now, we appreciate you checking us out no matter which venue you use. All right, so two USB 3.0 ports on the back. That front one, I think the odds are that it probably is also a USB 3.0 port. It just, they're not wanting to deface the front of it with an SS
Gotta
logo
get that
on
sleek
there.
Line.
So three USB ports, which is good. And then, of course, an Ethernet port and
optical.
An optical out port, which is to be expected. And then there's one other port that I would bet a week's worth of In-N-Out burger lunches that will not be on the final console.
A port that won't be.
Guess what? If I lose this bet, it means we get to eat there for a week.
That's awesome.
I think you owe us so much In-N-Out.
What? Me? You probably owe me a bunch.
Let's just go.
Let's just go.
Is it Port Royale? I don't know.
It is. It's just this long, slim, horizontal port that is not labeled, and it very much appears to be, if you've seen dev kits or things in the past, which we have the privilege of getting to see those when we visit developers sometimes.
They're not as pretty as the final thing.
No, it's almost certainly a diagnostics board.
Yeah.
I made the joke. It's long. It's rectangular. It's seriously about the size of like a Game Boy.
A Womp Rat?
Game Boy cart. Womp Rat.
Exhaust port. 2-meter exhaust port. Come on, guys.
Advance.
Star Wars.
Boy Advance, right?
It reminds me of the port like that cars have where the pedals are, where the mechanic can plug
in. That's
a diagnostic thing.
And that's a diagnostics port.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I think that's actually a great analogy. So I think that's what it is, so that, you know, Microsoft, anybody can plug in a, you know, with obviously a custom...
It's proprietary.
Cable for Microsoft. Plug in... and do, you know, diagnostics and maybe tuning, and maybe who knows, they might be wanting to see, well, what if we dial, can we like clock up the CPU a tad? Can we clock it down? Whatever they're doing with it. So
it's the admin port, essentially.
Yeah,
the thing that I love about it is the mock-up that our design team built looks like these leaked images. Like, people seem to be pretty spot on what this thing's going to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it looks great. Now, there's one other.
The other thing on the back.
I don't know if Doug is going to get in trouble.
Oh, Doug.
Because Doug might just be the messenger, and we don't shoot messengers. That's not... we're in the business of messaging.
I mean, it didn't end well for Drago.
We don't want to be shot. But whoever took these pictures, or more specifically, whoever this console belongs to or was assigned to, is probably in a ton of trouble. And you might be thinking, well, why, Ryan? Why? Because...
there was a piece of mail with his home address.
The photos, well, you know, you're not far off because...
Two forms of ID.
Yeah.
His driver's license.
The picture does not blur out the console serial number.
Got a blurb.
And as it is a prototype, Microsoft will have that serial number cataloged, and they'll know exactly
100%
who it belongs to, or who it's in the possession of, who it's checked out to.
And people were claiming that they were registering that with their account. It was popping up as a real
Xbox.
Oh my god!
Who knows if that's true? But that I saw a tweet saying like somebody tweeted at Phil Spencer right when these leaked, and they were like, "Hey, I registered this just to see if it was real, and it worked. Please don't ban my account." I'm like, maybe just don't register.
Yeah, here's the thing: is like that's a great idea, and I would love to try it, but I never would.
So that you can be the world's first official Series X owner, right? If it's registered,
second,
to you.
Phil's the first.
That's true.
No. You could be the world's first account to be banned on a Series X.
There you go. It had to be something.
There is one first out there.
Yeah.
This is one of those scenarios where they probably send a sternly worded letter, but most of all, it was like positive, like for the community, for the community and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they're probably mad, but they're probably like, well, you know, could have been worse.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no harm done here.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if they hadn't already revealed the box at the Game Awards, then someone might have been in much more significant trouble.
Yeah.
But somebody's probably still getting... I'll think it'll go past an email from a manager. There's going to be a meeting. Somebody's getting pulled into a meeting over this one. But
Mr. Spencer requires the pleasure of your company.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Mr. Spencer would like to see you now.
It's just him at the table, like in the airport scene in Iron Man. He has like a steak.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Hey, just knife in hand. Have a seat. So what was this award show this week? And I mean, I can't remember the name of it. It was the...
Game Awards.
No.
The Grammy?
This week?
Yeah. The video... I'm sorry, last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
All sense of
time. The Academy Awards.
No, okay. There is a video game award show that just happened. What is the name of said award show?
Oh.
DICE
was
Awards?
It DICE?
Was it the DICE
DICE
Awards?
No.
Next month.
DICE
next
is month. In GDC.
Anyway. It just happened. It's the one where, like, you know, Reggie took a selfie in front of the whole crowd. Everyone saw that.
Nintendo.
Okay. Anyway.
You're just saying words.
So there was a award show, and I've talked to some PR friends who, you know, have said, like, sometimes when the industry gathers at these events, they use them as an opportunity to hand deliver hardware and stuff like that. So when I saw this picture, I think I saw it the night of the award show.
Interesting.
And what it looked like was it was on carpet that was suspiciously hotel carpet aesthetic. So I'm wondering if someone got their hardware, immediately went up to their room, dropped it on the carpet, and took a picture of it. Which
Brandon's done the math. He sent the samples down to the lab. They're like, yeah, it looks like a hotel carpet.
My
living room is nothing but red twine and like cigarette butts everywhere. I'm wondering if that's what happened, which is crazy because they would have had names and serial numbers
of
on
course.
An Excel sheet like that night.
Yeah.
I worry for this man. Or
well,
this
they do
person.
Use Microsoft Office, so
Excel.
Maybe this.
But I'm done.
Who knows if it's a fireable offense? I don't know, but it might be. I mean, for all we know, it might be. It might just be like, yeah, you're gone. But hopefully not. Hopefully nobody.
I think it depends where they work.
True.
Are they a dev? Are they
internal or are they an external partner? Because that's a little dicier. Anyway, the one other item of interest on this, if you're curious about it, there is a manufacture date on the back of it. So it's November 12th is when that prototype was manufactured. So
interesting.
Microsoft has had the prototypes for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Is that when Phil tweeted that he had one?
It was right around there.
Because it seems like it was about a month before Game Awards.
I mean, they're always manufactured, and then you know there's time you got to allow at least a couple weeks, if not more, for shipping. Mm-hmm. Depends if they airdrop them or just send them over on a boat.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player.
If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, there are smaller quantities, not like, you know, when the thing's actually releasing in mass quantity. But
now I'm just picturing them in a plane just throwing Xbox One X's.
I got to imagine
parachutes.
I got to imagine those
castaway
style. Those are in a cast iron shipping container, like on the below deck of an international shipping freighter.
Armed gunmen.
Just chains around the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one spotlight over it, just kind of like an ominous glow.
Some like ex-paramilitaries down on their luck just took a job, you know, standing guard at all four corners
just
of the container.
Full body armor, automatic weapons.
He's like, "What do we guard in there?" Like, it's the Xbox. He's like, "Wait, really? Like all of this? Okay."
Oh God.
But
it's a video game.
All told, you know, no real surprises with getting a look at it and what the ports are on the back.
We just lost a connection here.
Oh, no worries. I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
But, nothing too surprising. And it's just going to be interesting to see. I still, of course, you know, I want to see it in person.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get a better sense of its scale. I mean, like you said, Mark, I think our mock-up is probably real close.
Yeah, I want to hold it. When you see the Xbox One X, it always shocks me how heavy it is because of how dense that console is. And this thing, I have a feeling, is going to be the same thing. Where it's
very
going
dense.
To have some heft to it.
Yeah. Well, the Xbox One X was like eight pounds, I think.
It's like it's made partially of a black hole. Like it's got like defies the space.
Yeah, no, it's always heavier than I think it's going to be. I see it, then I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they packed a lot of punch into it.
Skipped
that
arm day, 31 years in a row.
I'm like, Mark, you need to go to the gym, my friend.
I know. 8 pounds.
You're the strongest.
Didn't make it to the
gym,
guys. That's 31 years in a row. Maybe tomorrow.
anyway,
but he never misses leg day.
You can, if you want to see the pictures, we've got them on IGN. If you want to check out the leaks. Next up this week, this is what I really want to dig into for the week because I think this is near and dear to all of us in some way, shape, or form. Cinefix, normally a film website, but they've got a report up. Whether or not anything comes of this remains to be seen, but they're citing multiple anonymous sources. Say, what are you doing?
I'm playing to the camera.
Oh, my goodness.
Can we just start over?
From the top. Welcome to Unlocked.
Destin Laguerre.
Giving him the eye candy.
We're all a little under the weather. It's been a long week.
I wonder we have the two shot now. You wanted to.
Hey, you put a camera on me, Porva.
That's right, it is.
I'm going to play to it. Don't, hey, everybody.
Anyway, Cinefix has multiple sources citing that a Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake.
It's crazy.
Might be in the works. Sort of a remake, though. And let's see. Let's see what's doing here. So they were Cinefix writes, according to one source, the previously mentioned Knights of the Old Republic remake is back in development. My other source added to that, saying that they felt it wasn't so much a remake, but a sequel of sorts. It would be a Knights of the Old Republic project that would integrate elements from the first two games in order to bring certain things into the current Star Wars canon. Not necessarily a remake, so much as a reimagining. So that is fascinating.
It sounds like this is going to... Okay, it sounds like this might be set a little bit... So instead of a long, long time ago in a galaxy... It's a long time ago in a galaxy far away. They'll pull elements that they like from the first two KOTORs to make them now canon for, you know, Disney and the franchise moving forward. But I imagine, like... I mean, you know, spoilers for characters and stuff if you haven't...
KOTOR 1.
KOTOR 1, yeah. I imagine they'll make a reference to... Lord Revan or something like that, right? Okay. But I don't... you're shaking your head because you
haven't
played
it. I don't want to
You're worried that I'm going to...
Oh, there is such a good...
Yeah. Yeah, there's apparently a really good twist that has never been spoiled for me.
We'll try not to ruin it for you in any way.
Yeah, I also don't know anything about these games. I
really?
Played...
Yeah,
we're getting a remake in like 16
guys,
years.
We worked at IGN. Like, you get a week after a movie comes out before you're just like, well, it's going to get spoiled.
No, it's fine. I played The Old Republic, the MMO, quite a bit. Me and Destin actually played it together for a little bit. That's a good game, but never played these because by the time I thought about like wanting to play them, it was kind of like, what, they're on like PS2, right?
They're on Xbox. No.
No.
No, no.
Oh, they're on Xbox.
They were original Xbox exclusives.
Right.
And then they
so
came to PC.
Oh, if they're on PC.
Shame. On PC.
Where's the bell?
There's an iPad version now, at least of one, for sure. Yeah, you could play it on iPad.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yes. You could play it on your phone now. That's crazy.
iPad or, I guess tablet or phone. I shouldn't just say iPad.
I mean, it's not crazy, right? Because our phones are basically laptops at this point.
Well, they're much more powerful than
they're more powerful
Xbox.
Than an Xbox.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So we're playing games that were like mind bending. I guess both work.
My mind has been blown.
Hold on.
What are you doing now?
What is this show?
Oh, I'm just getting informed for the episode. So,
this is
doing off the pre-show research live on the air.
It was okay. I worked
I have
on,
it on my phone.
IGN first.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you're playing the game.
Okay.
Let us know what you think when you get to the twist.
Yeah. Thanks for the copyright strike, YouTube. Appreciate it.
We'll see you in about 30-something hours.
Yes. I hear it's about 30, 40.
Anyway. Like a modern Star Wars RPG I think could be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, my confession, since we're all just admitting things about this series at this table.
One time I hit a guy and didn't stop.
Whoa! That went dark.
Wait, with your fist episode. Or with your car?
Yes.
Yeah, oh God.
I got out. Just never hit and run.
You had to make sure he's...
Anyway,
it's not a hit and run if you get out and hit him more. Is that your logic?
Not a hit and run if you walk.
just walk away.
Just walk away. We will spare your lives. God, this is off the rails.
Great.
Apologies all around.
Awesome. Let's have colds more often. This is good.
It's all that DayQuil.
Yeah, so...
It's hopped up on DayQuil.
I reviewed the original for Official Xbox Magazine, and what I remember, I'll just tell you real quick, so... First of all, I love the game. I think I gave it a 9.4 on our scale back then, on our 100-point scale. And might have even been too low in hindsight. That game was so good. But I remember back then we had these things called debug kits, which were they could play pre-release software. Whereas a retail regular original Xbox or your Xbox One now can only play certified finished code. That you've acquired, it's either on a disc or that you've downloaded from the Xbox store. But with the debug kit, we could get stuff, just builds of things, and it was great. Yeah. It was a great, great era. And to go get the review, build of Knights of the Old Republic, it was, remember this, these were original, original DVDs. These were not Blu-rays. So, I think the total usable space...
It's like four.
Like on a single layer.
It's like 4.2.
Thank you. Something in the 4.2 or 4.7 comes to mind. And I believe KOTOR was like 7-something gigs. It was dual-layer disc. Mm. So I guess they couldn't easily press that, burn a disc for us of that. So I had to go to LucasArts, and they had to take it, physically install it. So I had to actually go get it from Lucas, which was pretty neat. Like,
did they plug in a diagnostic cable, bringing it back to the first story?
Exactly.
Yeah, they did.
Not a cable, but
that's what we call it. Callback.
I forget how they. I think there was a tool called Xbox Neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
That would allow you so you could have the build on a PC and then drag it over the network to. To the Xbox D. I could talk about Xbox debug kits all day.
Yeah, you live that life.
I lived that life for a long time. And
I actually love those old stories, these old ways of doing
things. It was great...
Even when I started here, which was only 4 years ago, we used more debug kits than we use nowadays.
Yeah.
It's very rare for us to use them. But I listened to your Unfiltered episode where you said you played Oblivion at Bethesda.
Yes,
in a room.
It there. Yeah.
Like, that stuff's so cool.
Yeah. Dude,
remind me to tell you a story about how we used to do debug on PSPs. There was a separate piece of hardware that was connected by a cable you couldn't unplug.
Right.
It was chained there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so at that point, I was very excited about KOTOR and interested in it, but I hadn't played it yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't know quite what I'd be in for, and then, I just had such a great time playing that game and reviewing it. But my confession is, I ended up never playing KOTOR 2.
Mm.
It had come out the following fall, I think, sort of during the busier holiday season, whereas KOTOR, believe it or not, if I remember correctly, Destin, maybe you can fact check since you seem to be needing to stay busy on this episode. did the original KOTOR come out in July of 2003? Because I think that's when it came out.
I love how
you begrudgingly pulled out your phone just
like
now?
Fine, yeah. Guys.
He's going to check it now.
I'll distract all right, my
dad. There's no phone. I'm just
we talk about
checking the database.
Doesn't just have to stare at his crotch whenever he accesses memory banks.
I'm meditating.
You know, we talk about how nothing, like sometimes we get a big game in June. Arkham Knight was one, The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. No
it
Man's
was
Sky.
July 15th.
You son of a...
Nailed it. Did it.
And we talk about how nothing ever comes out in July these days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, KOTOR came. KOTOR is probably the greatest single July video game release of all time. I'll put that out there. I would put that up against the other probably four games that have ever come out in July.
Yeah.
But, yeah, never played the second one. Came out at a super busy time and never played it. So I'm kind of curious how you'd kind of merge or retcon those two stories, one of which I know very well and one of which I don't, into one game when certainly KOTOR 1 is very much its own excellent story.
I mean, what if they you do like, just intertwine them, right?
Or like a different perspective, you know? Like, The Lord of the Rings was famous for this. Lord of the Rings, The Third Age, where you don't play as Aragorn, Gimli, and Legolas. You play as the other human, dwarf, and elf that were happen to be running around right. at the same time. So yeah, I could see that. Like, you could pull events and timelines and stuff together.
That's true.
Show from a different perspective. I just, how do you do a non-remake if you tell the same story? I don't know how that works.
Is KOTOR 2, like, really far in the future?
I don't,
how much separate is it?
I'll be honest, I never played it either.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't recall, but
I flipped the page over and I'm really excited by this top thing you have here.
We're talking about KOTOR 2.
This is KOTOR. This is KOTOR related.
Yeah, we'll get there in a moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's very exciting.
Patience, Mark.
I have none. Now I'm excited.
But anyway, yeah, I mean,
brief look into your personal life.
Do they get combined into 5 years? Thank you. 5 years later, it's set after the events of KOTOR 1.
That might be a little weird. They would have to fill that gap, I think, a little better.
Follows the story of an exile.
Exiled Jedi, yeah.
Borba, you need a mic, bro.
During this time, the Jedi Order has almost been completely wiped out by the Sith.
Yeah.
Brandon, you're using that meditative power I brought up.
Yeah. See?
I got to remember. Now my skills have translated.
So, yeah, it is. Would they be effectively kind of combined into one giant 80-hour game? Or would, you know what I mean? Or I'm sure they would probably trim some.
You would assume it has
way.
To be like an abridge because these aren't canon anymore. It's like, yeah,
right.
They got to bring something
that's
that
very
is
true.
Canon.
That's
and it's like, yeah, just make... I mean, games do that now. The games seem a little shorter than they used to be, and so I'm sure they can kind of find a more focused path. Or maybe they're making a one and a two.
I don't know. Yeah, so number one, I hope this is real because this is... the good news is... As I mentioned, you can play it on a tablet, you can play it on your phone, and you can play it on your Xbox One because KOTOR was in that initial batch of backwards compatible original Xbox games, and they've even up-resed it. I think it runs in, you know, it's still in 4:3 aspect ratio, but I think it runs in 1080p now. So it does look a little cleaner than it did in 480p on the original Xbox. But yeah, it's $10 on the Xbox Store. If you've never played it, I think mechanically some stuff might feel a bit old.
It's a little dated. Yeah.
It is a little. I mean, it's real time, but it's kind of not. You can pause combat at any time and queue up. I mean, you basically
it's like
that
Dragon
is
Age.
It's like old school CRPGs where it's real time, but you can hit the space bar to pause it. Yeah,
and queue up
and queue up attacks
from your different party members, which I loved. I mean, I had a great time doing that.
Well, especially like you see him doing the thing, and you're like, "Crap, I got to interrupt that." Pause.
Exactly.
You interrupt him. Yep. Unpause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not modern sort of more action shootery combat the way that Mass Effect ended up kind of going.
Yeah.
Mass Effect by the last one in series, you were slowing down time. Andromeda, I don't believe you could stop time. You were just slowing it down.
Yeah.
But in like 1, 2, and 3, you hit your bumper and you bring up your power wheel and that sort of freezes everything.
So it's sort of BioWare DNA that's
right,
prevalent through all
the Mass
RPGs.
Effect 1, 2, 3 team was the KOTOR 1 team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are one and the same.
Well, Dragon Age Inquisition was like that, where it just stopped like midair.
Yeah.
And then you could just queue up and tell them what to do and all
yeah.
that.
Mark Dara worked on both Dragon Age and KOTOR, actually, nice. Like with a lot of the storytelling elements, I believe. I don't know who wrote the story of KOTOR, but he helped with that stuff.
Chris Avalon? Probably would have been Drew Karpyshyn, right? Because
Karpyshyn did Mass Effect, I
right?
Know.
He did. I don't know if he did if he did KOTOR before that, but in any case, yeah, I hope this is true. But to get to what Mark's very excited to talk about, Mark, if this rumor is true, who's making it? Because you look around EA.
It was Drew Karpyshyn, sorry, guys.
Thank you. Ryan wins again. First July, now Karpyshyn.
Another In-N-Out burger on the pile.
Hey up, Destin. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who EA gets to do this.
Yeah.
You know, that they the only external partners that I'm aware of that EA tends to work with are through the EA Originals program, where they're completely independent studios that EA, you know, EA is just publishing their game with Battlefront and Battlefield and their other, you know, larger scale titles. They tend to do everything in house. So, Mark, who do we have? Who are the candidates?
You have written here. You have Obsidian.
Nope.
As a
you're ruining the okay. the big finale here.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
So okay, before we really get into it, don't yell at Mark. Before we really get into it, does anyone remember when the Star Wars license with EA expires?
Or it got to be soon.
I believe
a couple of years.
I want to say it's 2023 because I think that deal was
not enough time.
2013.
So we know the obvious answer is BioWare, right? I mean, that's the obvious answer. But we know BioWare, especially Mark Dar, who's now EP and worked on the originals. We know he's working on Dragon Age 4, Dragon Age 4, Fenris, Lone Wolf,
sure.
Hungry Wolf, whatever they're going to call it. They've got the next Dragon Age in development already. We're not going to see that for a few more years. They're still committed to Anthem.
Yeah.
Anthem 2.0, that game is undergoing massive metamorphoses. Should we use that word?
According to Kotaku, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only person that's ever actually said anything about the Anthem stuff.
Like, there's no, like they actual reveal that Anthem is undergoing.
Like, yeah.
But the point is
that
the point is it is still working on it.
Yeah. There's a lot happening to that game to try to turn it, or not turn it into something, but bring it toward the direction that I think the audience is looking for and BioWare is looking for as well. That is a lot of game for one studio to be working on.
And to the even
though it's two teams, right?
Right. To the best of our knowledge, BioWare was and is two teams. So there was theoretically no bandwidth at BioWare Edmonton, which of course is where KOTOR originally came from, to handle this. So, let's...
BioWare's last two projects also have not done well with the audiences that they've lost them to. Andromeda.
Which was BioWare Montreal.
Yeah, was...
Not Edmonton.
Which is gone.
Converted into a support studio.
Yep.
Right?
And you have Austin.
They folded into Motive, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so they're doing other stuff for EA now, I believe. And, you know, we had Andromeda and then we had Anthem, which also didn't resonate well with people. And we've heard stories about both of those games sort of having a really rough behind the scenes thing. So I would worry about BioWare taking on this. I think BioWare should focus on making Dragon Age the best possible game they possibly could, because they cannot have another problematic launch.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, and Dragon Age has already gone through they were making it and then kind of restarted kind of deal. So it's like you would assume that they're in development now, that they're not going to focus on anything else. They shouldn't be splitting their time with it.
So now we need to look outside of BioWare, right? So you could there's Motive, who we just mentioned a second ago.
Right.
They did the single player campaign for Battlefront 2. And word on the street is they're busy with something, but the stuff I've heard is that it's not this.
We already know where you're leading towards, but what would a respawn version of this game look like? They've never done.
It would come out in 2027 because I don't think that they have. You know, you have the Titanfall team, you've got the Apex team, and you have the Jedi Fallen Order team.
Yeah,
and the Medal of Honor Above and Beyond VR team, which is not a huge group of developers, but it's a chunk of respawn.
However, and
their resources Vince, are tied up.
Yeah,
Vince just got promoted, didn't he?
Well, he's head of DICE now or something.
Yeah,
like that, right?
Yeah.
But
they're going to rename it.
Yeah. So that's
Dice LA, which had been a support studio. They're going to be, you know, Vince Zampella is now the head of that. This all just happened, though. So,
yeah, like, I mean, weeks
according
ago.
To this Cinefix's rumor, Cinefix, pardon me, their rumor is correct, then this is something that's already been cooking. And so it's unlikely to be Dice LA because they are seemingly just kind of revamping and launching into a new project under Vince. And then, yeah, I mean,
do they announce a new project? Do we know that they're working on something that isn't? Because I when I hear Dice LA, I just assume they're going to support whatever the Battlefront franchise is doing.
Right at the beginning of the year. In fact, I think it was right like the 1st of January, because I got a call from PR over while I was driving home from Arizona. So it was like January 3rd or 4th or something.
To be fair, driving home from Arizona is the best time to take a call.
That's true. There's nothing else to do.
There's nothing else to do.
You got nothing but time.
Oh, look.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was the LA Times had gotten that story, and then we had reported on it.
Yeah.
Well, obviously. But yeah, I think that it was that Vince and EA had confirmed that Dice LA would be under Vince Zampella's direction, and that they would be starting on a new project.
Mm-hmm.
So they're seemingly out of the picture for this. You have BioWare Austin. You guys talked about Star Wars The Old Republic a little while ago. They had been supporting on, I think, Anthem?
Anthem. So BioWare pooled all resources to knock out Anthem.
So unless it's possible that since they sort of have experience with the franchise, even though The Old Republic isn't Knights of the Old Republic, but it is and it's not, and it, you know, but they're an option, maybe. So
I'm looking up RPG developers.
Yeah,
if anything, I mean,
but
that
again,
we're missing.
We're talking about internal EA.
This needs to be in the EA portfolio.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it could be third party.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
yeah, then, I'm not finding anything.
Yeah. So the one, Mark, you want to what else?
Well, what are the other studios that EA has? You've got Criterion, which
they're
doing the car games, right?
They're doing the car games. They have zero role playing game experience.
Need for Speed.
Not to say that
maybe
they couldn't do it.
Maybe KOTOR 3 is all about pod racing.
Now this
thanks,
Barbo.
A car racing studio could never do anything different.
Yeah, it turns out it's not a KOTOR remake. It's a Star Wars pod racing remake.
Now that's pod racing.
It's more like we think of it more of a sequel.
Look at the Horizon guys. They're not doing a car game. If
I was joking,
I know. I'm just saying. Like we have no actual proof of that. But yeah. You know, you can step outside your box every once in a while.
But yeah, I mean, it's DICE is obviously busy with Battlefront and or Battlefield.
I would love to see.
Also, well, not a role play. They're an action game developer.
But I would love to see DICE try. To do something, maybe not this project, but just anything out of the genre that they've sort of been in, which is shooters.
Well, we saw how well it went when they tried to put Mass Effect into Frostbite. Let's see.
I was just going to say a studio stepping out of their comfort zone using Frostbite to make a game genre not designed with Frostbite in mind sounds
did
like...
not say use Frostbite.
Okay.
I was very careful.
Yeah.
Do you think DICE themselves? Well, it's a cold day in hell when they use Unreal.
Well, Respawn just used Unreal, correct, for Jedi?
DICE.
Yeah, Ryan.
DICE made Frostbite.
I know they
hates
did.
It still.
But Patrick Soderlund's gone now. You know, he's doing his own thing.
It's true.
So, and when he left, I think there was a quote, and I might just be imagining this in a weird fever dream, but I think there was a quote that he was like, yeah, it's really nice to be able to use a different engine now.
Did he go manage a different soccer team by any chance? No, I'm just kidding. That's a deep
cut. The EA career trajectory. You make video games, you get to the top, you're a C-level exec, and then you just go manage a football team.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right, no DICE. Who do you really want to talk about? Mark.
No DICE.
Obsidian. We're back.
So just... dream spitballing here.
Dream big.
Just dream with me.
Yeah, dream with me for a minute. So, Obsidian acquired by Microsoft about a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
we knew that Grounded was already in development with a tiny 14 or so person team.
Yeah, inside Xbox.
We know that, of course, Outer Worlds just finished. Mm-hmm. That they've got a team coming off of that. But then you have the Pillars of Eternity team.
The hardcore, old school CRPG team with CRPG sensibilities.
Who now they are now, they finished, as of now, here in late January, about 2 years ago. It's been just about 2 years since Pillars 2 Deadfire came out. It is not outside the realm of possibility that while before the Microsoft acquisition that EA reached out, because Obsidian, of course, made KOTOR 2, as much familiarity with KOTOR as anybody other than BioWare, that EA reached out, and while Obsidian was still independent, and said, hey, let's do this. Let's make a deal. You guys have the AAA talent, the AAA experience. You could do it. So it's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible.
That would be so awesome.
If and there's not that's them.
It's the best case scenario.
If it's not them, it's BioWare, right? Nobody else that we've listed could
right.
It's got to be. And I don't think you could make a KOTOR 3 in the same framework as KOTOR 1 and 2 these days. I don't think you could do it. I think it would need to be more...
Action-y, real-time.
Action-y. Mm-hmm. I think it would need to be more kinetic than...
The intro's tough to get through.
It is, but you know that you're talking 60 hours to 80 hours of dialogue trees and then starting combat and then pausing to assign actions. I think you're going to be looking, and don't take this the wrong way, but I think you're looking at more of a Mass Effect Andromeda approach, which is RPG sensibilities with action, RPG in the streets.
Sorry, Ryan.
Go ahead.
One of the games that are actually doing this really well is... and there was a little bit of kerfuffle about it when it happened, but Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
They've kind of modernized that combat system, and I'm actually really intrigued by it.
And 15, too, right?
Yeah, and 15. I didn't play 15, though.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I'm pretty intrigued by what they're doing with 7, and I think that hits the right nerve to satisfy RPG enthusiasts like myself and also modernize it in a unique way.
Yeah. Great point. Yeah, could very
possible.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as if this actually happens and whatever congealing of KOTOR 1 and 2 it is, I just hope, cuz what made KOTOR 1 is, I mean, it's actually neck and neck with Mass Effect 1 for me as my favorite role-playing game of all time. It's it's one of the two, and I would probably give the edge to KOTOR, cuz both had great stories. Similar
they're
mechanics.
They're both Karpyshyn. Drew Karpyshyn. I mean, he's
the
a fantastic
team.
Storyteller.
The same team made my two favorite role-playing games of all time. And what I love about it is, before Mass Effect, KOTOR 1 was one of the first games, and still, I think, one of the best games, to actually change the game and have real consequences for being good or evil. Mm-hmm. And you could play the game in those two very different, distinct ways, and things would change based on.
So the Paragon system is all its fault.
Yeah, of course.
Well, because every RPG that followed it had a where do you land on the good or evil scale, and I think it had been done to death as of like a couple of years ago. So we're starting to see it move into more of a organic, like sort of a holistic approach.
Well,
to
it didn't work for Andromeda. They tried that exact thing, and it was. Not well received, but
the BioShock team actually implemented the Paragon Renegade system in a really interesting way. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like started
with the
evolving.
Little sisters,
with the little sisters and your decision with what to do with them.
Even game, a series like Fable as well, right? Like you get visual representation,
which came after KOTOR.
Yeah. And I think it's all a play on the old role playing game or CRPG game of stats of alignment, right? Where you start as neutral or whatever, lawful, good, and then you sway and drift depending on the decisions that you make. And like that translated into a system for a video game, I think it was done really, really well in Mass Effect, and I would love to see them pull the stats and numbers off of it and just have something that happens behind the scenes, but pull it off.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you got actual dark side points in KOTOR.
Yeah. I don't want to see like, oh, I'm plus 12 good guy, right. I want people to react to me.
But I just, if there is a remake or reimagining, I just hope it does hold on to that light side, dark side dichotomy and actually change the course of the... I'm not saying multiple endings necessarily, but just changing the dialogue options with NPCs and the different things that are... different quests that are available to you and things that can go
on. It's tough to design for that. Because,
no doubt.
Because the branching decisions of the design, blow up exponentially the more choice you add to it.
Yeah.
Which is what I've always liked, like the story gates where it's like, okay, you hit story gate one. What's your alignment? This happens or that happens, right?
But at least if this is a, you know, remake or reimagining, it's that all that stuff's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they don't have to reinvent the wheel on it. Just, yeah. It's just a matter of kind of figuring out how to make it work in the 2020s rather than the, mm-hmm. you know, the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys think of anybody who's really taken a modern whack at Doom. At the storytelling? I'm sorry, the good versus evil thing?
Oh, Doom good versus evil. I thought you were just talking about like a modern take on an yeah. older game.
Because today we have more, you know, space, so you could build a bigger game where those decisions are more nuanced. I think Mass Effect 3, nobody will ever like do that again, where you can kind of go out here, but it eventually comes here.
Oh, all roads lead to the same destination.
Yeah, it would be great to see like an actual branching path, at least two of them.
In the first, you know, half hour of Outer Worlds, you're met with a decision to, you know, route power to a town that seems evil, mm-hmm. or give these people who have like fled the town, give them the power. And that kind of like sets the stage, because it's like you think, okay, this town's totally evil, but then the more people you talk to, the more you're like, okay, but there are people that are benefiting from living in the town and stuff like that. And it's a very like they both have their gray areas, and you have to just like make the decision and live with it. Outer Worlds had a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I think Bethesda does an okay job of it as well. Like there's never really a sliding scale or anything, but you can make decisions that will definitely have consequences in the greater world that sort of imply, or if not outright, just call you out for being an evil bastard, right? Like you blew up Megaton.
So. If they could do something like that with this version of KOTOR, that would be pretty cool, though. Like, this is an opportunity to correct any of the errors that they saw and improve it in new ways. So
to blow up Endor or not to blow up Endor? Yeah.
Sure.
All right, so we'll see. We'll be keeping an eye on this one. Hopefully EA's got a surprise up their sleeves, and they're, you know, this is something I think that would be obviously welcome by
everybody,
old people, but also, you know, people that are too young to have ever played KOTOR would very much love a really good Star Wars role-playing game, because we haven't had one of those since KOTOR 1 and 2. So, I mean, I guess there was the Old Republic, but that, you know, as an MMO.
And also Star Wars Galaxies as an MMO as well, right?
That was before Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, that was the predecessor, back. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that'll wrap it up for... I think we just had those two big news topics this week. Let's do loot box, shall we? Thomas Wade from Conway, Arkansas asks you guys this. What game did you assume would be terrible, but you were proven wrong after playing it? For instance, back in 2015, I thought Doom looked like the absolute worst possible place for my $60 to go, but after Ryan praised it for several weeks, I decided I'd try it and see what the fuss was about. And it turns out I was dead wrong. Doom is now in my top 10 favorite campaigns ever. I absolutely love it, and I'm looking forward to the sequel. So I thought this was a really interesting question.
It's a great question.
We all have these kind of games where you might be thinking one thing, and it turns out when you play it, you end up feeling a different way.
Doom's a really good one. Like I wouldn't say I thought it would look terrible, but I wasn't excited for it until I played it, and it was awesome. I would say Resident Evil 7. I didn't think it looked very good. First person kind of seemed to be going after those PT vibes, you know, dark hallways and stuff like that. And I remember thinking, like, this game, I don't think this game's going to be that good. And I liked it a lot. And it was good. That's a good game.
Mm. Totally good. Good answer. Destin, you got one yet? You need a minute.
I think I thought of one I was pretty skeptical of, and usually it's with like games that are sort of in early access. Mm. Probably PUBG.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I have to learn, you know, keyboard and mouse controls, but I got hooked on that game. Hard. Yeah.
That's very a good one.
Oh, that's
good.
A really good one. Mm-hmm. I think I had one that I was kind of okay with, but now, I think Rust.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Rust, and I was like, this game looks like hot trash. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm just going to run around the woods. I'm just going to run around the woods and get beaten to death with rocks. And then I played it, and I was like, but I made a fort, you know, and I killed a bear.
And
coming to Xbox.
And then there was a naked man, and I shot him with an arrow.
Rust is very popular, yeah.
Rust was one of those games. Miranda and I think the first time we ever talked was on Rust, spoke. Was on Rust. Same with shut up. Same with Mitch Dyer. We used to before I worked at IGN.
The first time you ever spoke, so like as a baby.
Yeah.
first words.
Yeah. We're in I opened my eyes and I said, "Raid the fort." Yeah, that's what I said. It was my first word. No, Rust was a great one. I think a more recent one was probably Dead Cells.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I saw Dead Cells and I did not think that it was for me. I was like, I don't really play pixelated platformers.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong, because that game is fantastic. And I ended up reviewing it, and I think it's one of the highest scores I've ever given, and I still play it from time to time today.
Yeah, I could probably come up with more time, but the one that comes to mind for me is I'm going to hop in the Wayback Machine, go back to the original Xbox, because especially... It was true. It's true now, mostly still, but it was very true back in the original Xbox days that anything based on a movie license,
pretty much
guaranteed to be
garbage,
pretty bad. But I remember Starbreeze came to the OXM office one day. That we want to come in and we want to show you our game based on the Chronicles of Riddick. I'm like, all right, come on in with that.
Sure,
that's fine.
Do you mind if I eat a sandwich while we do this?
And. The entire OXM team, we were all floored.
Yeah.
That game, I mean, it proved to be, obviously that was Starbreeze's breakout title. Vin Diesel was involved creatively and very just creatively invested in it. And it was anything but a you know, horrible tie-in. Because ironically, the Chronicles of Riddick was a bad movie. Pitch Black was really good.
Mm-hmm. Pitch Black was amazing.
The Chronicles of Riddick was not, but the Chronicles of Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay, for, an exclusive on the original Xbox, was, it's easily, I think, one of the five best games on the console ever on the original Xbox. I think it's in the top five. It's that good.
God.
It was such a great, I mean, you talk about, I mean, it mixed,
stealth,
just stealth with just like
action,
but like kind of Doom 3, almost horror action. Where there's one point you're down in the sewers and there's all these guys crawling around, and you have it's almost pitch black. and then there's wandering around the prison cell and just talking to the fellow inmates, and you know you're doing quests, and that game was and still is just incredible. It just had no business being that good.
No.
So that's a game I think where I thought coming in like, yeah, no, this will be poop. But it was
surprisingly not poop.
It was instead of a hunk of crap, it was a big old bar of platinum just metal. It was that good.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that game was cool. Like sort of it's often overlooked, but it was a really good like stealth action horror game, right? Like
sure
it had elements of like all these different genres in it. And you can do that sometimes and it doesn't work because those elements kind of clash. But
I think
you can get it to work, man.
So there was a remake for the 360 that also included Assault on Dark Athena, a sort of standalone expansion campaign. Not as good as Escape from Butcher Bay, still pretty good. And I think, don't quote me on this, I believe that the remake is backwards compatible on Xbox One.
I think it is.
Yeah, I believe so. So
I have that.
You can't play the original, but you can play the remake.
I have the original and the remake.
Yeah.
And I have all the consoles to play it on. So I like that game a lot.
Thomas, excellent question from Thomas Wade in Conway, Arkansas. If you've got a loot box question, email it in. unlocked@ign.com if you want to pose a fun discussion topic to the panel. Now, before we go, let's do Unlock Block Trivia. We bust out the old scorecard here as we get
should
it warmed
be zeros
up.
Across the board.
It is. I thought we. Put
I wasn't.
A point
I wasn't here last week.
No, we.
Miranda
didn't.
Got one.
Oh man,
last week.
Miranda got a point last week. So
I don't.
She will not get a point this
Now's
week.
Now's the time to catch up, boys.
So, your question is this: comes from Florida Man Mo down in Milton, Florida, who asks which of the following Xbox 360 game discs also played in the original Xbox, the same disc.
How is anyone supposed to know this?
Was it Madden NFL 09? Was it Dead or Alive 4? Mm. Was it Pocket Bike Racer or Call of Duty 2? So if you there's a case to be made for some of these.
This sounds made up. It doesn't sound possible.
Okay.
But
let me copy your answer.
Hybrid disc.
I'm gonna go with Madden, only because it's like that's an annualized series that you would think like it's like they'd kind of want to make it this like hybrid kind of game for you know adopters of the 360 that maybe also still have an Xbox. It sounds like something they would kind of tricks they'd be pulling even back then.
All right.
Yeah. Why not?
Brandon?
Can I go last?
You can go
last. No.
It's Price is Right. He just defaulted. So it's defaulted to you. It's
$1, Bob.
Picking the coin toss.
I think it might be Madden also, but I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to say Pocket Bike Racer. There's no way it was DOA 4 or Call of Duty 2. Those were like close to launch games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not happening.
That's what I was thinking too.
And actually, I don't know what the heck that game is.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I was thinking Pocket Bike Racer because I believe that is a smaller, like a smaller game. And I thought maybe in order
to change my answer,
maybe in order to, you know, hit a wider market with the mm-hmm. game, they were like, well, it's a small game. We can make a hybrid disc. So the interior is the 360, the exterior is the original Xbox. But also, I would not put it past EA to be like, the boys back at the lab figured out a way to make one version of Madden 09.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to say C because it is right 70% of the time.
All right. So Pocket Bike, Madden.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so I added Madden in there.
You
son of a...
He had Gears of War, which was just like, no, that was obviously the premier 360 title.
Should have added some baseball game.
But I knew that Madden would screw with you guys.
You got me.
Because
got me.
Now your logic was completely correct.
You're a monster.
Dead or Alive 4. Not a day one launch title, but it came out a month after the 360.
It was a big deal. Because I think
it was a big deal.
Call of Duty 2. Now,
like a Spartan was in it, right?
There was...
Well, I remember that.
Yes, Kelly.
Yeah.
Really?
There was a...
Of course it was Kelly.
There was Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1 for the PS2 and original Xbox, separate development team. But Call of Duty 2 was a day one Xbox 360 launch title made by the aforementioned Vince Zampella's team at Infinity
War. I love COD, dude. COD 2 was great.
Pocket Bike Racer as one of the Burger King games.
I knew it! I was like,
hybrid disc.
I'm getting like Sneak King vibes from this.
Yes! So you guys are both correct.
Excellent on the board,
job.
Baby.
Yes, so Brandon.
Sorry, Borba, I did get louder than I thought I was going
to.
Over the Burger King
was
game.
Was not expecting to get that right.
It was the Burger King game that got him hyped.
All right, so.
It's the king.
Florida man, Mo, nice job. I think we combined our choices there, our forces, and made for an excellent. Excellent question. So if you guys out there, if anybody else, I always need good Xbox trivia questions to try and stump the panel with week after week, playing for that super awesome Unlock Block trivia trophy at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Got a long way to go. It's a long road to the next trophy. So send in your Xbox trivia questions to unlocked@ign.com. Include the question, the answer, four multiple choice selections there for people to choose from. And we'll play again next week. For now, though, I'm going to go empty the contents of my nose into a tissue.
Oh, boy.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks for that image.
You're welcome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's it's in that post. I don't know. I guess.
Oh, yeah. Your body is expunging.
Everything's better, but yeah, it's just now it's all got to come out.
Sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do sign-offs real quick.
Let's do it.
Cool. I'm Brandon. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Tyrell. Today is the last real big piece of our IGN First for Disintegration.
Relevant to our audience.
Made by V1 Interactive, who was founded by Marcus Leto. God, my brain is not working today. Founded by Marcus Leto, you might know him as the man who helped create Master Chief.
Former art director at Bungie and project lead on Halo Reach.
Halo Reach, yeah. One of the best Halos, in my opinion.
Yeah, you've been doing a great job covering that game all month long.
Oh, boy.
A lot of interesting... I mean, it's a really it's a very unique action strategy kind of hybrid. It's worth checking out.
The hard part about this game is watching it and playing it are two entirely different experiences. Mm-hmm. Because watching it, you're like, cool, okay, you put the cursor on the thing, you shoot, you tell your troops to go over there. But when you're playing it, you're piloting basically a hover bike in three axes, right? Forward, back, up, down, left, right. While you're signing orders, while you're sort of taking in information in your field of view, while you're shooting things. There's a lot going on, and like that really feels good, man. Feels good. Anyway, I did a 12-minute video that was lovingly cut by producer Brian Malkowitz and this beautiful boy right here, Mark Medina.
I know everything about four of the characters from Disintegration.
The video features all 9 playable crews, which are characters in the multiplayer. So basically, it's a deep dive, and you know, after you watch the video, you will have a much better understanding about where to get started in Disintegration. Go check that out. Sweet. Go check out everything else for our Disintegration, because boy, did we do a lot of work on that game. And the closed beta is starting today and tomorrow, and then an open beta starts on Thursday. So if you're interested and want to play it on PS4, PC, or Xbox, my preferred console, you can check that out on Thursday and Friday.
Great. Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, Twitter at Mark_Medina. It's kind of slow right now. You know, nothing really worth
just follow you. Just
taking airtime for. Don't worry about it. Just follow me on Twitter.
Fair enough.
Or don't. It's fine.
Or don't.
It's
do it.
Whatever.
Do it.
Destin?
Follow me on Twitter at Destin Legary, Twitch and Mixer /Destin. That's all I got.
Nice. And you can follow me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. As you wrap up the Disintegration IGN first, I will be launching headlong into February's next week James Duggan and Brian Malkowitz.
You're not going to give it away yet, right?
No, not today.
Good.
No, but it's...
Don't steal my thunder.
It's... No, I'm telling everyone to go. I'm just very excited.
It's a big one.
I'm very excited.
I've seen some of the footage, and whew.
It's, I was on the road for most of last week.
Yeah, you were.
Because of this video game. And it was a good trip. So, looking forward to sharing that. We hope Miranda is feeling better.
Yeah.
And we hope we all get better, too. It's just that time of year. You know,
Why does the cold season coincides with the start of preview season?
Yeah.
And it's just the worst.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You power through as best you can. For Mark, Brandon, and Destin, I'm Ryan. This was Unlocked 428. We'll see you guys again next week. Let's stay tuned for your outro music, which is right here.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.